Blog Talk Radio.
Right, that
literally a picture perfect catch, or a picture, I don't know, it was like a doppelganger of the catch that mattered when he, last year.
Right. It's the glove, man.
It's got to be the glove,
right?
And it didn't even count. Of course, you know, he's getting fined for punches being thrown and words going back and forth. Man, I wish they were in our division so we could play them one more time. But, they're playing Philadelphia this week. So, you know, I mean, are they playing Philadelphia or
they're
on
week six?
No. Oh, that was week six. I apologize. So the Giants, they're on a bye. Oh, no, they're playing San Francisco. And it's in New York. I mean, to me, the way that San Francisco's been looking, they're going from west to east. I think that's a win for them.
I do, too. Looking at other teams in the NFC East, really quick, Washington on the road against a very hot Atlanta team.
That would be a huge win for Washington if they won that game.
Right. You could say this is like February Sunday part two because we don't know how real a fake Washington is. You go into Atlanta hostile environment, they're 4-0, shows your real colors. Are you that team that you say you seem to be?
Mm-hmm.
Prove it against Atlanta. Then you've got Philly, who's at home against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. Brees looked phenomenal against Dallas.
It was the only game I called last week. I couldn't get anything right last week whatsoever.
I
thought the Bills were going to win.
Yeah, so did I.
I thought the Eagles were going to win.
So did I. Yeah, it was really, really, really rough week for us. I thought the Cardinals were going to win with my Rams. They surprised the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was thinking, but they played good against teams who are superior in that division. But look out Seattle, look out Arizona.
Well, we were right about Green Bay. I mean, I think everybody thought Green Bay was going to win.
San Diego.
I think San Diego, right, exactly. The Colts, I mean, you know, they beat Jacksonville. But Jacksonville was only 3 points away, and that was in overtime.
It was a field goal.
Yeah. You know, I mean, to lose in overtime to a team that's supposed to be hands and far and away the best team in that division, you know, it's got to be something where you got to at least say, is this a moral victory? I don't like moral victories, but
no, yeah, me either. Looking outside the slate on Sunday, what are the prime games? Minnesota-Denver. Denver is now 4-0. Minnesota moving to 2-2. So what I would do with the Denver Broncos in the hierarchy of power rankings is place them in the top five. Another team that most people have in their top three that I would kind of take out the top three, the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm just not sold yet. I don't know. I mean, in my top five, let's circle back. New England, one.
This is in the order top to bottom.
Exactly. New England, one. Green Bay, two. I would go Denver, three. I would go Seattle, four. And Atlanta at five. And I'll put in Cincinnati right at six or seven because Arizona dropped down a notch or two due to that loss. There isn't another team that I can really see that's up there better than those teams that I just mentioned that is ahead of Cincinnati.
See, I like Cincinnati now because they really showed me against a very tough Kansas City Chiefs defense that they can get the job done, and they can not just do it throwing the football to A.J. Green, but they can get it done on the ground.
They can run
multiple guys getting touchdowns on the ground last week. When we talked about that their run game was somewhat suspect, it needed to prove to me that they were actually a real football team from top to bottom, not just a team that kind of run here, kind of run there, but not committed. They've committed to me, as far as I'm concerned, with both backs, and they've got a nice tandem between the two.
Exactly. See, I know you want to jump into some mid-season, or not mid-season, I'm ahead of myself.
Quarter season.
Quarter season awards. Start it off, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I think if we're going to look at it, you know, the number one award that anybody looks at in the NFL, you're looking at MVP outside of the Super Bowl. You know, we're not going to get there yet.
Right.
But MVP up to this point, even though he's only played three games, I've got to go with Tom Brady.
You want to sound terrific? I mean, I would too. But you know, look at other candidates. You've got Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Sure. You've got Tom Brady that we just mentioned. Julio Jones, he's even mentioned in this race. Last week he didn't have a great game, a Julio Jones game, if you will, but you still want to put him in that conversation because look what he does for that Atlanta offense.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't there, you wouldn't have seen Hankerson get what he got. And you know, obviously the run game has become much more stout in the last couple of weeks, but everybody's playing the pass.
Exactly. And they have now this forgotten in the offense about Roddy White. They're saying, well, he's blocked. Roddy's not happy with his role on the team, but hey,
you might not see him there.
Rumbling.
Rumbling.
Rumblings. Anybody else in the MVP race that you want to mention that you see?
Cam had his head stuck in there last week.
Cam did.
And they won 37-23 against, I mean, I don't want to say a hapless Tampa Bay team, but they look
not
a very good team. I mean, there is no doubt about it. But, you know, I think when you look at a guy who has a team at 4-0 that no one's talking about right now.
Look what he does offensively for the team. He's a part of every play that produces yardage and points. Cam Newton's responsible. This is a 4-0 team who has a 1,000 run game. Cincinnati is better than Carolina, and Carolina's undefeated. I will say that.
I will give you that because I think Cincinnati has played better teams, and Carolina's getting a lot of really good defensive play, even though they don't have their number one guy in keep.
Right.
So, I mean,
Norman, the cornerback.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got four interceptions now, leads the league right now.
He might be
the only defensive player right now that's good looking. They might have a shot at the MVP at this point if he keeps going the way he's going.
Well, what about the defensive MVP, a.k.a. the defensive player of the year? Are we giving it to Norman?
I think right now you kind of have to. I don't think it'll last. I mean, interceptions kind of come and go. He might not get another interception for the rest of the year. But that might be because they're not throwing his way.
Right.
I mean, it just depends on how you look at that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think the defensive MVP out there right now is somebody that you can kind of target and pick and say, is this guy it? You know, I think there's nobody that's standing out like J.J. Watt did last year.
At least to me. I like Justin Houston, defensive player of the year. He's on KC. KC needs to, like, step it up and get closer to 500 in order for him to get some more recognition, because defensive player of the year, I think, is going to start to become like the MVP, where if you don't have a really good record, then we're not really going to give you the shine that you probably so do deserve. So I think Kansas City needs to play better offensively in order to keep up with their defensive prowess that the linebackers there have with Houston and Derrick Johnson.
Right.
But I think with that, it's close. I mean, you got to put J.J. Watt in the conversation. As of right now, you got to put Norman here. But if I had a vote right now for who it would be, it would be Houston. Also, you've got to give a look to Harrison Smith, Minnesota Vikings. I told you to watch out for that guy. And he picked off Peyton Manning on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, a lot of people pick off Peyton Manning.
He does throw a hat.
It's true. I mean, you know, we have to at least admit the fact that it's true. But, yeah, Harrison Smith is still one of the best, if not. Would you consider him the best?
You know, I've been around a couple of times.
Eric would
fight you. His beard
would
fight you.
You would lose
that beard.
I
probably would lose
that
beard. That may have
always
been an Old Spice
commercial. Yeah, I was literally just thinking, could they get into an Old Spice commercial with his beard, like just taking on all comers?
The Super Bowl commercial committee.
Listen, man.
Old Spice. Old Spice. I can't do the whistle. Oh, look at this. I forgot.
I got some skills.
You do. Did you watch the game Sunday morning?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
I wish there was a better two teams playing. And I think that was the biggest thing, because this was the first divisional game, if I'm not mistaken, that they've had. I think they said it was, 13 out of 14 have been sold out. So that's great for expansion and as far as world play, quote unquote. I really wish that Miami needed more of a game. And if they had, I think I would have been a little bit, you know, more into it. Don't get me wrong, I watched it from top to bottom and I thought, man, I'm having breakfast. I'm sitting here watching football. By the time I got done with it, it felt like it was 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
My mind and my body were, it was like I was on, like, a different time zone. It was weird. Because then I was like, oh, my gosh, there's a game literally, oh, bam. Like, I felt like I put energy into it. And then, bam, the Bills game came out. I felt flat for the Bills game. That's the only downfall to it. And then, of course, you had the later game later in the afternoon and then, of course, the night game. But it was one of those weird scenarios where I didn't expect to feel the way that I felt after the game. And I don't know if it's because it's not a game where you look at it and you say, this isn't Steelers-Ravens. You know, this isn't, you know, old-school San Francisco-Seattle.
right. or, you know, Green Bay, Chicago.
Sure. I mean, maybe not so much now. Chicago's
old school. Old school. I'm talking just like
a nice rivalry game. Like, you can really feel it. Sure. New England, Denver. You know, something like that. Or a team that's 4-0 and a team that's 3-1. Or, you know what I mean, maybe a little bit later in the season where these two teams are in the same division and this win pushes this team over. Like, something to really play for. I think if you start getting those types of games going, you really will say, okay, this is the real deal. But you keep having games that are blowouts. I don't want to say blowouts because it wasn't a crazy blowout, but 27-14.
And if the score was closer than what the actual storyline of the game, you'd see that. You've got another one coming up in a couple of weeks with Buffalo and Jacksonville going in across the pond to play their game. You're talking about Mexico City being the next destination for the international series with the NFL as well.
I told you.
You did. You said you started spending. Like I said, no.
2025, they have this all the way up to now. 2025, they have games all across the world. I guarantee you, you're going to see games in Brazil.
Australia.
We're going to see games, maybe not Australia. I don't know, unless there's maybe some type of World Cup or, the Olympic Games.
Okay.
Because you need very specific types of stadiums. And that was something that I read that they're very interested in is, and that's a big reason why Brazil is a big player in this, because they just had the World Cup. These stadiums are up to snuff, quote-unquote, about what the NFL wants. And they came out, if anybody doesn't read Peter King, MMQB, I highly recommend it. In that article, they came out and said that an NFL team to give up a home game has to really feel like this is like over-the-top type atmosphere.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, where they say to themselves, everything's absolutely perfect as far as, you know, lodging, as far as how they're treated in the city, as far as game time conditions, as far as field conditions, everything that you would want in your own home game, especially for a team that maybe was in a playoff hunt, like the Jets, like maybe Miami if they had a better record. Maybe the Bills in a couple of weeks when they're going up against Jacksonville.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those scenarios where I think if you can get that from where you're going, then more teams will be on board for this.
Yeah, I think the key is not to have those kind of games so late in the season where you do have playoff implications like really in your face. Earlier in the season when you're at the quarter mark where the 2-2, 3-1, 1-3, 0-4, what happens? You can kind of say, okay, God, it's the quarter mark of the season. It's not over yet. This is not going to impact us as vastly as it would later down the season, but I understand what you're saying.
I'd like to see one of those games, though. That's what I'm saying, because I think that would create more interest.
It would, but you can't take a home game away from a potential playoff team later down the line that could help them get to the next plateau.
That's where there's going to be a lot of issues later on.
Right. Tomorrow, we got a football game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. Before we get to that, Tom, I want to talk about a coaching change. We just briefly touched on the Miami Jets game that happened in London.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Philbin, you said he would make it throughout the season. He didn't miss
another
one playing.
There's another favorite.
All right, sorry about that, folks. A little technical difficulty. He was telling us about DeMarcus Ware, and he got sacked.
Yeah, we got sacked. No, he's leading the league with 4.5 sacks. It's not by much, but he's still leading the league. That defense is crazy good, and there's a lot of talk about him having a resurgent year, kind of looking like the old DeMarcus Ware. So don't count him out just yet as a defensive MVP. I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's a very good point. He's a rejuvenized. But Joe Philbin, gone.
Did not see it coming. We're
not this early.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they had lost, like, the next however many games, you know, I mean, but honestly, when you read what happened, you read how these players were responding to him, maybe this was the right time, coming in, getting a bye week. There's a lot of talk about when to fire a coach and firing a coach during a bye week makes the most sense, gives the next interim coach the most time to get himself acclimated, to be the leader of the team, not part of the team. A lot of kudos to Dan Campbell from all over the league, guys in and out of the league. You know, I just didn't think that they were going to jump to that conclusion or that jump the gun on that as quickly as they did, because I thought they kind of had a mentality or a thought process of let's not blow up the ship all of a sudden, and that's usually what happens when you get rid of a coach like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ross and company, the ownership of Miami, truly believes that they still have a shot at this thing. Like, we can still turn things around. And I don't know if one of his handlers talked to him, but bro.
Oh, there was multiple reports that
it's over.
His advisors were like, you got to get rid of this guy. You got to get rid of him. And they're still going to make a decision on the defensive coordinator. Like, they still haven't gotten rid of him or said they're going to fully keep him either. So
they need to make another decision, too. Ryan Tannehill, bro.
He's their quarterback for the rest of the year, at least.
Who else they got? Matt Moore? You going to start Matt Moore over Ryan Tannehill? I don't think so.
I think you need to get a different atmosphere there. The reports about Tannehill, I'm not really buying them. I don't know if he said what he said. There is no verification of any of these reports out there that he was talking trash to practice players about their money that they get.
He probably was.
He came out and said that he was disgusted by it. I've never heard a single bad thing about Ryan Tannehill since he was in college.
Yeah.
From college all the way up until now, I've never heard one whisper of a bad thing about this guy. So I don't want to sit there and make assumptions about what somebody heard or somebody thought they heard from some second or third-hand source, because that's all we got right now.
Right.
There is no verification that this even happened.
Well, with Tannehill, I think you gave him the pieces in the offseason to perform very well. Granted, you didn't get a Demaryius Thomas or an Antonio Brown or Julio Jones in the offseason.
They've got a decent set of wide receivers.
Right, but they got a decent crop of guys that are very good playmakers with the ball in their hands. They can create separation. You put those guys in front of him, and you say, Ryan, this is your year. Ball out. He's not having a terrible year, but he's not having the year that he was supposed to.
And I don't think that defense is even close to having the year they were supposed to be having as well. I think that defense is a huge, big problem. I think not having Alberts on the tackle spot.
Yeah.
I think him being gone has really messed things up for this team. They're not running the ball as well as they want to. Right, and I don't think that that's something that they're going to get short of anytime soon when they've got – or Brendan Alberts, right?
Brendan,
when he's gone. Didn't they lose somebody else too? I think they were down to, like, their third-string tackle at one point in that game.
I forgot who else they lost in that.
It was the second-string tackle that was replacing it. So now you got a third-string tackle. I mean, I know this firsthand, being a Bills fan this year, there's a lot of injuries. You look at that team and you say to yourself, man, why aren't they performing better?
Right.
The injury bug has hit them hard. You don't want to blame injuries, but at the same time, when you have certain guys that go down, you can really see a difference. I mean, look at Seattle when they didn't have Max Unger there anymore. You know, I mean, it creates problems when the offensive line can't get themselves going and get things moving in the right direction. And I think that's a huge problem along with their defensive line. And I just don't think they were playing for Joe Philbin. These guys are going to say what they're going to say because they want to make sure that if they ever encounter him down the road in some way, shape, or form,
right,
you know, that everything's good. It's very rare to hear a player talk trash about a coach after he's gone unless it's extremely, extremely volatile.
Yeah.
Like atomic
volatile. You heard there's a Colin Cowherd show, Fox Sports 1, there was Champ Bailey came on the show and talked about some head coaches that he played for. And I forgot, I caught in a conversation who it was, but Colin asked him about coaches that were fired under the tenure when Bailey was in, you know, his respect.
In Denver.
And it was a coach, I forgot who it was, but he's like talking about him like, yeah, a lot of guys were happy to see him go. And I was like, oh, man.
Daniel?
I don't know. I think he, after that, he asked him, you know, who's the guy who's like,
right,
decent or pretty good or what have you. I forgot in what context. But he said, he's a genius. He's an offensive genius. That's what he said about McDaniel. I mean, on the other side of the football, on defense, but for him to come out and say that about Josh McDaniel,
no, I
think what he's doing in New England,
I think, you know, you give Josh McDaniel the right guys, you know, I mean, you kind of need Tom Brady to look good too, you know. I mean, it is
not
him,
Debo.
Yeah, you know, I think if you give him the right guys, and now that he's gone and done what he did in Denver and it didn't work out, now he's back in New England, he's getting more seasoning, I would not be surprised if you see McDaniels as one of those guys that gets a really good look at another head coaching job.
I hope he doesn't leave and does not want to see another assistant to Belichick while for that.
I mean, everybody's going to keep trying to run that car one more time and say, okay, maybe this is the one.
If I had to pick a coordinator on the team, we'll be just a coordinator. I forgot what his name is, but I really think he deserves a head coach a shot. I forgot.
I don't know. He's the guy with the backwards hat. That's all I know.
I don't know if you give him a shot. I mean, maybe people will, but I don't see that. I would see McDaniel before him.
Who knows? Well, see, before we wrap this puppy up,
but I've been wrong about many things.
Like Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I doubt it. Thursday, right. Houston and Indianapolis. Are they playing this one at the RCA Dome?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's at the RCA Dome. No. It's the Lucas Oil, right?
No, it might be in the NRG. NRG is in Houston. I think it's in Houston.
Oh, it's in Houston. I thought it was in Indy.
No, it's in Houston.
Oh, okay. All right.
Formerly Reliance Stadium.
Yes. I would have given you Reliance Stadium. I don't know. Andrew Luck looks like he's going to be back on the attack. I was wrong about that as well.
Well,
credit to Matt Hasselbeck. Got to give credit to Matt
Hasselbeck. They managed the game very well.
They won the game.
Excuse me. Fantasy. He threw
the ball 40 times that game, too.
Don't you know who caught some of those passes? Fantasy. Kobe Fleener. Bro, where are you? Love the entire season. I'm looking for you. Now you're here.
That might just be because, you know, you got a backup. Maybe he's more attuned to throwing to that type of guy. I don't know what it is about Buck not wanting to throw to a tight end, but I just don't think he's as comfortable throwing to him. Even though he's coming from Stanford, he's a Stanford guy. He threw to him there. I don't see them throwing to the tight end as much as I expected them to.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
I see a lot of outside throws.
Maybe it's because they have to find some sort of way to justify why we spent so much money in free agency and early draft picks on receivers.
Yeah.
That's why I look at to get the ball out of them.
Maybe. I don't know. I think a guy's open. I don't care where you got him or how you got him.
Right, yeah, you're right.
I would expect the Colts to win this game. I think maybe they're back on track a little bit here. They've won two in a row. Albeit close games, but they're winning these games.
Right.
And, you know, it maybe can just be a little bit of a spark to get a nice little roll going. Houston's quarterback situation is pretty rough right now. Ryan Mayall does not look good. That defense is still good. J.J. Watt's still on the other side of that ball. They could be dangerous on that side, but I'm just not really looking at Houston as being a dangerous team offensively, even with Arian Foster back.
I'm looking at this game saying, what do I have from Indianapolis? I don't know yet. I really don't know what I have left. I'm going Houston. I think my mind tells me Indy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm saying, come out party for this Houston Texans. You got Andre Johnson coming back to Houston where he played his entire career. That's huge. They're going to look for him early, I think. You saw what Buffalo in Miami when Clay went back to Miami. They went to Clay early and often on offense.
Right.
They kind of shut him off the second half, but
he looked good. He looked good when he caught the ball last week, but you know, when he caught the ball. anyway.
So that's important. But yeah, I'm still going to Houston. I don't see anything that makes them better than Indy, but I just don't know what I have in Indianapolis. I really don't.
If you're gonna say everything's equal, I'm taking the better quarterback, who's Andrew Luck, even though he might be a little hurt. That's why I'm giving it to Indy. Even though they're going into Houston, I'm still going to take Indianapolis. It'll be close, but, you know, maybe like a 22-20 score or something like that.
Yeah, 17-22, something like that. They won't score more than 45 points for both teams. But look for J.J. Watt to be involved in all the Defensive Player of the Year conversations after this match. Televised game on NFL Network and CBS. Well, folks, thank you. You listen live. We have some callers. We appreciate you. We are going to dip out. CH, close it up.
If you're out and about tomorrow night or on Sunday, please make sure you're safe. And, of course, don't do anything we would do.
Deuces.
Deo. Mi sedeo. Daylight come and me don't want to go home. There yo, me said it, yo. Daylight come and me don't want to go home. Take that.